Blog Talk Radio. Peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to Elevated Places. I am your host, Sister Ava Muhammad, and I am here with my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. It is a pleasure to have all of you. The Elevated Places team welcomes you. Sister Rona Muhammad, our executive producer, and our wonderful legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who is host and moderator of her own program on Elevated Places Network every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, on this same channel, this same site, this same phone number, and it is entitled A Time for Justice. She has brought together week after week a brilliant array of attorneys, lawyers, educators, social workers, and the primary theme, of course, is our families and children, which is her specialty, but they cover the whole spectrum, and we are blessed that we are going to be joined shortly by one of the great talents in our nation, Brother Andre Muhammad, violinist and maestro. And he is from Buffalo, resides in Buffalo, New York. And this has been absolutely traumatizing, this experience. There are no words to express our sorrow and, frankly, our anger. In the Nation of Islam, our faith community, and the broader black community, and anyone who has any respect for Allah, God, and his creation. But the destruction of 10 innocent lives has such a multitude of implications, particularly for where we are in time and the hour that we are in. And we will also discuss the Muslim program, the warnings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and what we need to be found doing in this hour. But we are blessed that our brother is going to be with us shortly. And we thank you, each and every one of you, for taking time to join us, whether it is on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Or if you called in at area code 563-999-3065. So with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Brother Terrence Muhammad to take us further into our program. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaykum salam. And I am, you know, as always, overjoyed to be here on this magnificent show on the Elevated Places Network with you, Dr. Ava, as Dr. Ava. And, you know, we are excited and, you know, we just always want to remind everybody that we want you to continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan monumental address, as we know, Savior's Day. But, you know, we were talking about 2021 unraveling of a great nation, or 2020 unraveling of a great nation. Yeah, 2020 unraveling of a great nation. And we was Savior's Day. And then we came to the criterion in July 4th of 2020. And then we come this year with the Swan Song, February 27th. And all these powerful major addresses by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that we're still studying. And then we get blessed during Ramadan, three times through Ramadan, the beginning, the end, and the middle of Ramadan. We hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And then, I mean, we should be soaking this up and being thankful and grateful and blessed that we are continuing to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We did a prayer for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on his birth anniversary, 89th birth anniversary, and we was blessed to hear from him then. And now, Dr. Ava, once again, on May 16th, we was blessed to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on WVON with Eddie Reed. And, man, if you did not hear that, just go to WVON, go to YouTube. You can go check that out. You can have, type in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Executive Council. And that was and is such a monumental address. The Executive Council was presented literally to the world, because once it goes on YouTube, once it goes on the Internet, it is not just confined to WVON in Chicago. This has gone out, and what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said about the Executive Council and naming him is so so significant that it should be studied, it should be heard, just as we remember, Dr. Ava, 1972, as we went and heard the Theology of Time, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad called out the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we know what he said about him, where you see him, look at him, and continue to hear. So we just heard something. I can't say similar because I can't science it up, but I just know that the Executive Council was presented to the world, very much so monumental. Also, we want to make sure that everyone goes to study.noi.org, study.noi.org on Friday nights to come join this wonderful discussion of the powerful, powerful self-improvement study guides. Come back Sunday, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org, as well as Wednesday night, NOI.org, 7:30 p.m. And also check out MinisterAva.com. You definitely want to do that, MinisterAva.com. If you missed the master's class, go back. There are some ways that you can go listen again and replay and hear that powerful, those powerful messages of the master's classes with all of some classic lectures from our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. This month is still Mental Health Awareness Month. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I bring that up because there's a lot of that that's needed, and there's a lot of that that's going on around the country today, and we want to recognize that. Shout out to Puff Daddy hosting the Billboard Awards. We don't really do a lot of entertainment, but he gave an award to our sister, Tamika Mallory, and she talked about we need to get involved. And if you are silent on what is going on in the world, then your silence speaks volume. That is actually taking the action when you say or do nothing. Shout out to all of the graduates that are graduating, coming up in high school, just graduated from college. There was a lot of college graduations going on. A lot of believers, children have graduated from higher learning institutions, and shout out to all of them. And one thing I want to close out, Dr. Ava, so we can get into this powerful and magnificent discussion that we're going to have tonight. You know, I was blessed to be able to successfully, we had completed my brother's funeral service this past Friday, and it's a blessing to be able to say, hey, we coordinated everything, we got all the funds, everything was taken care of, everything went good, and everything went all right. And I only bring that up because we want to make sure that in the event that we lose a loved one, that we are able to provide for the family the necessities and the things that they need, as well as make sure that that family is taken care of and the burial is proper. And I want to bring that up because that is shows the immeasurable love of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because sometimes we see funerals take place for people and loved ones that are not in the quote-unquote registered members of the Nation of Islam, but their funerals have been taken care of. So the parents or the loved ones don't have to suffer about how we're going to bury our child. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taken care of so many in and out of our nation, registered, non-registered believers, to make sure that those families are taken care of. But I bring that up because that's one of the workshops that we will have at the national training coming up in July 28th through the 31st in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for the national training. You can go to thevskjujitsu.com, thevskjujitsu.com, and learn about the national training coming up. But we just got to be prepared for the time that we're living in and continue to hear the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as we're going through these troubled and dark times. And don't want to forget, if you did not get your latest edition that we're going to talk about tonight, Pure Evil, the latest edition of the Final Call newspaper, The War of Armageddon, How Strong is the Foundation, Can We Survive, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You can go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com, and get your electronic subscription or see a brother or sister near you. So I thank you, Dr. Ava. There's a whole lot more going on, and usually our callers bring in those other pieces that we didn't cover in the beginning. But we want to turn it back to you.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Terrence. And before we go to Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad to get us into the discussion of what occurred in Buffalo, New York, and, of course, we will be opening the microphone of Brother Andre Muhammad as well, I do want to just quickly read specifically from the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan this past Monday. This was a moment of immeasurable significance in our nation's history as we approach the final days of judgment and the coming in of the kingdom of God, the coming in of a new world order, the restoration of the original man and woman to themselves and to their rightful place in the universe as we take our planet back from an intruder, from a made species, which are the product of an experiment by one of our scientists, and have wreaked havoc on this planet. One of the latest acts we're going to discuss tonight. But all that is occurring bears witness to the impeccable truth. It's not hatred, it's truth, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now his representative, the Messenger Messiah in our midst, represent. And that is that the Caucasian people are totally disagreeable to live with. There may be the one or two or the few that you have encountered. There's not one among us who has not encountered nice white people in our lives, people who were kind to us in certain situations. So no one is suggesting that you feel poison and venom and vitriol. This, we're not talking about the individual, the person in the cubicle next to you at your job, as the minister once said. We are talking about a mindset that has dominated our planet for 6,000 years, and that time is up. And so part of our transition into a new world order involves the establishment of a government. We have our God. We have our flag. We have our provisional constitution, and now we have the Executive Council to govern the affairs of the Nation of Islam. And it's no coincidence that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan chose to do this. He didn't ask us our opinion on this. He chose to do this, and he did it in response to an invitation from our brother, Eddie Reed, who is a community activist of many years in Chicago and was guest hosting Monday on WVON. And what he desired to do as guest host was have none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the program to hear words of wisdom and guidance from our beloved, but also to give the community the opportunity to wish him a very happy 89th birth anniversary, to thank him for his relentless strength on our behalf, for his service to our community, for his love of our people, for serving as a role model and example of a husband, a father, dignified, highly intelligent, artistic black man. And when he received the invitation through Brother Leonard Muhammad, his response was, I will come on the program, but only with the Executive Council. And I want them introduced, and I want each one of them to have words. And that's how that came about. And I'll just share this with you because nothing like this has ever happened, ever, in this cycle of our history.
That's right.
And so here we have the Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as Brother Terrence said, you have to hear him. I received so much feedback, including my daughter Sherelle and, you know, the classmates at Howard University listening, family listening. It's amazing. He talked about everything from the highest law to the fact that Allah, as the Holy Quran teaches, creates everything in pairs, not only men and women, but blades of grass have a gender. And it was just a beautiful, sweet experience to hear him relate of his great love for his wife, the First Lady of our nation, Mother Khadija Farrakhan, whom he met at the age of 8. She was 8 and he was 11. It was such a beautiful narrative, but I'm going to repeat these words very quickly for those of us that sometimes don't want to bother reading. And hopefully this will inspire you to listen to the program from Monday. He said, and I quote, "We always think of law as something that confines us, and it does. But Jesus represented law at the highest manifestation when he said, love God first. And that is the first cardinal principle of the Executive Council and the members of the Nation of Islam. We love Allah God first with all of our hearts and mind and strength. We pledge allegiance to nothing or no one but God. We respect the flag of the nation in which we live. We honor that flag, honor the independent people who are the former slave masters of our fathers. But we do not wish to govern as they govern." I'm going to repeat that. He said, "We do not wish to govern as they govern. We do not wish to govern and guide our people as white America would make us, and has made us into themselves, explained the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And then he said, of the Executive Council, who had each individually spoken before he came on, he said, everyone that you heard from this morning on this Executive Council, I have personally chosen. And the host said, oh, you did? The minister answered, yes. I was personally chosen by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because in me he heard himself. He heard his message coming through me clearly, not adding to or taking away from, like this is some personal fiefdom of Louis Farrakhan. I am an extension of Elijah Muhammad, who we believe is that Jesus that every one of us has fallen in love with and have wanted to live under Jesus, follow Jesus, and be made into Jesus, so that each one of us who follow Jesus become saviors under his saving grace and power. For everyone that you heard this morning, thank you, Brother Eddie Reed. We have committed our lives to the Messiah, to the Mahdi, to God in person. Unafraid to be unequivocal when he is in front of anybody, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so with those words, we're going to turn our attention to that government and that people and that flag, which, as our leader said, we respect, but we have no desire to live under it or to govern our people with it. And so you are witnessing, I am witnessing, and we are all part of the early infancy stage of the establishment of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
That will be eternal. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, in the hereafter, and it's right here, after the end of the workings of Satan. We're in it. And he said, in the hereafter, we will make unlimited progress. But our people are now being, and I'm saying this from the teachings, our people are being made, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad promised. He told black people in the 1960s when he begged black people not to integrate. He said, Allah God will make you separate. And so as long as we disobey him, we will remain in danger in the throes of the fiery serpent, the angry white people who know full well there not only is their power coming to an end, their existence is coming to an end. So let me get off this soapbox and open up the lines. Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, thank you for your patience, sister. And she's in such demand, she's not going to be able to stay here, but I didn't want us to not hear from our in-house attorney. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava and Brother Terrence. And all praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much, Sister Minister Ava. And for your words, especially about the show, our time for justice that Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, you know, getting right to the point with this tragedy, with this mass murder, with the Buffalo Massacre, as it's entitled in the Final Call newspaper, nothing more than a hunt. So we have this Peyton Gendron, who shot 13 people, killing 10 black people. And in the news today, it appears that he was charged with first-degree murder. He's got a first-degree murder charge. It appears that he's been indicted by the Buffalo grand jury. But it's a little interesting because the DA, DA Flynn, he does say that the court was briefly adjourned until June 9th because this grand jury indictment, this is when Gendron will be actually arraigned on that degree murder charge. And it's really interesting, Sister Minister Ava, because as in several interviews watching D.A. Flynn being interviewed by the news, they ask about hate crimes. They ask about what charges. And when they talk about, D.A. Flynn is talking about these potential hate crime charges, he goes on to say how they have a charge called it's called domestic act of terrorism motivated by hate, you know, but then he talks about how the typical murder case, which is what he's charged with right now, Gendron is charged with, you know, you don't need to prove motive. You don't need to prove a motive of hate. You know, so Flynn is kind of concerned as to whether or not he's going to have enough evidence to put in front of the grand jury. This is what he said on the CBS News on May 16. So he's trying to assure people that, you know, but this first-degree charge of murder is the highest murder, but we have in the final call that, you know, this man is a racial terrorist, Gendron, the shooter. Yeah. You know, he had nigger written on the tip of the gun. You know, and, yeah. And so as this one lady interviewed in the Final Call news article says, she said, we have to deal with racism and stop sugarcoating. So it's just interesting to watch these DAs, such as John Flynn in this interview, you know, talking about whether or not he'll have enough evidence to put in front of a grand jury that, what's his name, Gendron, was motivated by hate. And then it goes on, though, Sister Ava, because there's another district attorney by the name of Michael Korchak, and he is the district attorney from Broome County, and this is where Gendron is from. So the Broome County DA actually is saying how, in response to questions by the audience, he's saying that he refused to label the shooting an action of terrorism. He just could not. You know, under these facts, he just kind of went around that. And so, again, going back to John Flynn, who's the DA in Erie County, which is where this shooting occurred, you're listening to him really on May 16th, and I'm going to end this, but just to kind of show this sugarcoating, this refusal to look at this targeted murder and just call it what it is right off the top. You know, the DA says, well, you know, he understands this at overwhelming evidence, but he wanted to make it clear that this defendant, in his opinion, was innocent until proven guilty, that he wanted to also make it clear how he's only been charged. He also wanted to make it clear that it's an accusation. It's an allegation. And he also, as a prosecutor, Sister Ava, went on to say, this white DA, you know, looking at this white boy who did this killing, or this white savage, you know, whatever we want to call him, the racial terrorist, the DA said in the press conference, I have three communities that I have to protect. And he said he had to protect the rights of the public, and he actually said that he had to protect the rights of the defendant. And he wanted to make sure, you know, that he had a fair and impartial trial. And, you know, he said he had to protect the rights of the victim. And Sister Ava, I'm just saying, on May 16th, right after this horrible shooting, you know, murder, killing, why, you know, this is very insensitive that our people's feelings aren't put first, the victim's feelings. And so just in closing, there was a black woman at this May 16th press conference by the name of Crystal People Stokes. She's the majority leader of the state assembly in New York, and she reminded them. She came to the podium and said, you know, justice for all is not specific enough sometimes. She said how that, as black people, you know, people get out of justice, you know, and she said it's under, she understands that innocent until proven guilty is an issue. But she said, but this young man was walking around with a camera on top of his head. So, you know, it's like how dare we have to be subjected to that kind of. So this is where we're at, and we'll have to, I think in the Final Call article, it talks about how the people in that community are watching, and, you know, they want their loved ones, you know, what happened to them, they want justice. So that's what I wanted to share in terms of an update. Thank you so much for your time.
Assalamualaikum. Wa alaikum salam. And quickly, I got to let you go, I know. You know, New York does not have the death penalty. And there is a white Republican who is running for governor, Leo Zeldin, and he's calling for the reinstatement of the death penalty in New York, specifically as a result of what just happened, and really in response to what happened. And so I just wanted to let the listeners know that there's a multitude of things, I guess, occurring in the wake of this. But one thing to your point, which you shared with us, we know that the highest law of the land in America is not the U.S. Constitution. It's white supremacy. So thank you, Sister Attorney. I know you have to go. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. All right. Praise be to Allah.
You are like him. Okay, excellent presentation. And at this time, we are going to open up this discussion on a broader level. And I do want to note, as you all saw on our flyer, that this is only May. And there have been 201 mass shootings. I think the number for a mass shooting has to be in excess of five people in a single incident. 201. And we're in the middle of May. That's the kind of place we live in. This time I've opened up his line, and I want to bring into the conversation a very gifted brother who has been not only a powerful cultural influence in our nation, in the development of our children and youth, and particularly with the violin, which, as we know, from listening to and studying the leader of the nation, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I play piano and flute, and you haven't done it in a while. I was becoming pretty proficient at a certain point and then abandoned it. When I was coming up, you had to take music lessons in school. And so many things have been snatched out of the school system, and it's feeding into the kind of behavior that we're seeing. But this instrument, this beautiful instrument, the violin, is without challenge the most difficult instrument to master. So to have violinist and maestro Brother Henri Muhammad on, and unfortunately, the subject tonight is not a good one, but we're happy to have him. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Henri.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much for having me on your program. I'm deeply honored. You know, of course, yourself, Brother Terrence, you know, again, considering the circumstances, thank you for giving us this opportunity to share what we're dealing with from, you know, literally ground zero here in Buffalo, New York.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, our deepest condolences to all of the families and to all of you who are in the community and having to undergo this trauma. And if you could, from whatever perspective you desire, share with us some of what has been experienced that we're not necessarily getting in broadcast, corporate-controlled media, about what it's like to be on the ground and this to happen in your city. And, of course, later on, we want to open up the lines to our listeners who have called in and want to weigh in or ask questions. So the microphone is yours, Brother Henry.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So myself, my parents, you know, Buffalo born, raised, and where I reside, Buffalo, some of the articles that have been coming out, is one of the most segregated cities in the country. You know, I think at one point second after, well, third after Chicago and Milwaukee, and the black community in particular in the city of Buffalo, primarily on what's called the east side. It's a very closely knit community. You know, we have our family, you know, issues and disagreements that come up like any other major city, but it's a very close community. I've been sharing on Saturday, this past Saturday, I just come in. I was actually preparing to go out to do my, you know, weekly grocery errands, and I got a message from one of my violent colleagues in Detroit asking if we're okay. And then I saw a tweet from a local sister news reporter sharing that there was a mass shooting at the Tops Friendly Markets on the east side of Buffalo. And then the news began to flow in. I turned on the talk radio, and it was, you know, wall-to-wall coverage. Just to share a little bit about that particular grocery store, the east side of Buffalo was and now is once again a food desert, that we had no fresh produce grocery store anywhere, literally anywhere on the east side. The west side of Buffalo is a little more diverse, Latino, immigrant, black. The north side is other people, and the south side is definitely other people. So for us, we would have to go out to the suburbs to get groceries. So when this particular grocery store opened up, it's in the center of our community. Jefferson Avenue is the main thoroughfare of the black community of Buffalo. And I shared on my social media that, you know, Jefferson Avenue is where the churches that I went to as a child is on Jefferson Avenue. Across the street is the library. Across the street from the grocery store is the library where I take my children. Down the street are the barbershops that I would go to get my hair cut. And so to have this wicked devil target, you know, literally target, not a random act. This was a targeted strike. Some of the news that's been coming out is that he led reconnaissance, you know, excursions coming into Buffalo as early as March. And had laid out a map of the grocery store of how he was going to strike and the exits. And just, you know, just dealing with the real devil, the mind of a devil. And so, you know, the city, the victims, many of whom I have a direct connection with, so many of the victims I know personally. I know I have students who it's their grandmother. I had one, a former parent and daughter of the music school who worked in the grocery store, were in the store that day. I have another student who was in the store 5 minutes before the incident. I have another violin colleague who played with me on the Stevie Wonder tour. It was her cousin who was grazed by a bullet. She survived. She's one of the surviving victims. But just the stories that have come out, another of the victims that is deceased, one of our community mothers, Kat Massey, a pillar of our community, she frequently sent in donations to the music school, Muhammad School of Music, and she sent one in February, which I had on my desk. Just a short note, you know, a thank you note, and then a donation inside. And when I read the names of the victims, I went to my desk and pulled her card up. And it's just touchingly close. You know, this is not Ukraine. It's not Palestine occupied by Israelis. This is in our backyard. And we continue to be under attack. So daily since last week, we've had school lockdowns. We've had threats being made at grocery stores. We've had, you know, the wholesale club, Sam's Club, abruptly closing today at 6 p.m. early because of a credible threat. So this hasn't really let up. Even though our community is trying to heal, we're still under the apprehension, the anxiety of all of this. And I'm just, you know, as a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I even am more convicted in point number four that, you know, since we, it's clear now that we cannot get along with them in peace. And our community in Buffalo and, of course, nationwide, but in Buffalo in particular, this is the lesson for us that the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is now necessary. It's been necessary, you know, and now I pray that our black leadership in Buffalo will come together to begin taking the steps to make our communities the safe place, a safe place to live for our children, for our elderly, for all of us. So thank you again for having me on your program tonight.
Yes, sir. Oh, thank you for sharing with us, because you're making this a reality rather than something we're seeing on television or even reading about in the papers, even our paper. But when you have someone, you're part of our family, and giving us the actual feeling of the severity and the reality of this loss. You know, you think about someone just going to buy groceries on a Saturday afternoon, and this is what it has come to. We can't do it. But I heard that, and I didn't get a chance to follow up or read up on it, because you said something significant. You know, this isn't Ukraine, which is some distant European nation that is really, I view it as the United States foothold in Russia, you know, we have a huge enclave north of downtown Chicago that's called Ukraine Village, you know. And my husband observed when this conflict started how when the media first went over and started reporting, almost every citizen of Ukraine speaks fluent English, okay? And this is an indicator, because what's the purpose of that? You know, being you're halfway around the world, why are you fluent in English? Because once again, it's the tentacles of the United States, and that's why there's such an intense interest in it. But I heard that Biden came and talked about white supremacy will not be tolerated, and, you know, the things he, I guess, felt compelled to say. But I heard he was criticized for going to Buffalo as opposed to traveling. I didn't know if it was somewhere near Ukraine or somewhere in Europe to talk about giving them help. I didn't know if you had heard anything about that.
I know that that President Biden was here on Tuesday, actually just a couple miles from the school where I'm on the faculty during the day. and he met with some of the families. And, of course, that's, you know, very generous of him. But when, you know, Air Force One takes off and, you know, CNN rolls out and Fox News and all the media coverage is turned away and the interest wanes, then, you know, here in Buffalo, we're still left with the tragedy. We're still left with the threat. And,
right.
You know, as the news shared, this Satan traveled 3.5 hours to Buffalo.
Look at that.
To plan this. And not only did he plan the grocery store, but he had intentions to strike locations up and down Jefferson Avenue, which includes schools, churches. So this was a laid out, you know, a planned, you know, this is not mental illness. This is devil. And the thing that and then to air it live stream, and I've asked my children, I've asked my students not to view what is really a modern day lynching. So, you know, 100 years ago they would gather with bologna sandwiches and watch and with their children and watch them lynch a black person in a field. Well, this was an internet live streamed lynching of black people.
Mm.
And I don't want my children, my students, to witness that kind of savagery. You know, it's not a movie. You know, these are not actors. These are grandmothers and fathers and people who are now deceased. And so, you know, this is what, you know, we have to be aware of exactly what we're dealing with. And as point number four calls for separation, I think our people in Buffalo, as the firsthand, witnesses and victims of this, we should be now the ones saying that we don't want this around us. We don't want to be around that kind of people, that kind of mentality that do that. You know, separation is the only solution, as the Muslim program says, because who wants to be around that? I mean,
exactly.
You know, who wants to be around a people that have that in their hearts for you, for your children?
That's right.
I don't. And so, again, I think we're in a healing phase. There are funeral services lined up for the next couple weeks. Then we get down to the business of planning, you know, of how to make our – I'm speaking on behalf of Buffalo, but this is a nation worldwide mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so,
yes,
you know, but here we are dealing with it right in our backyard.
Well, you know, I and I know it struck a number of people, and this is where I just want our people so much to just wake up to reality. Again, it's, you know, we're not haters. We don't hate anybody. It's what you just said. We want to live, and we want our children to live, and we just don't want to be around anyone who views us through the lens of this young Satan. You know, one thing, you know, when I was coming up decades ago, our parents and grandparents used to say, and this is during the civil rights struggle and the Black Power movement, then, you know, our parents would say, well, you just have to be patient because a lot of these white folks, they grew up in hardcore, vicious, you know, Jim Crow segregation. And they have a certain view of black people, but generationally it will fade out. As white people through integration begin to know black people up close and personal, then this will allay all of their fears. This will demonstrate to them that we're intelligent, we're clean, we're disciplined, and so on and so forth. Well, okay, here's somebody that was born in 2003 or 4.
Mm.
Okay, and born in the 21st century. And he does this. So he's 18 years old. He's not even 21.
Mm.
So this delusion that somehow what is in the nature of these people will just dissipate and go away because of integration. Well, with many of them, integration has intensified it, but the problem is it's the nature in which they're created.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I thank Allah for the teachings for, because if you take it out of the realm of emotion and don't worry about somebody trying to make you be mean and hateful, no. But I always say, you know, the zebra herd, the zebra parents don't send their children to school with the lion pride. Okay.
Mm, yeah.
They teach them. These are laws of nature. There are species who are natural enemies of one another. And you can't teach that out of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly can't do it with sensitivity classes. And you know, it's really offensive to us, I believe. And it furthers the idea of inferiority. When I hear the Al Sharptons of the world, you know, talk about training the police and
mm-hmm.
teaching sensitivity. I'm not a dolphin, okay? I don't need you to be sensitive to me, okay? I'm not a lesser creature than you. You know, what I need for you to do is go over there in your space, and I need to be in mine. Mm. But we need to start teaching our children who these people are, and it, you know, and just stop putting this, as Sister, you know, Pamela said, we dilute everything that happens. And then lastly, I'll say, you know, and like to hear your input. It's so troubling to me, and we see this over and over again, that here's an active shooter engaged in mass murder, armed to the teeth, bulletproof vest, the whole nine, and they take him in.
Right.
Unharmed.
Yeah.
Unharmed. You know, but we get shot in the back of the head. We get shot asleep in our own beds, in our apartments and houses. Mm-hmm. We get shot with our one-year-olds in the back seat.
Right.
You know, sitting up, standing, lying down. But the overwhelming majority of police murders of our people are – our people are doing the same thing your fellow citizens of Buffalo were doing Saturday. They're just going
right.
about the mundane activities of living.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the store, going to interview for a job. You know, on the way home from work, as the brother was, or got just the accountant. Here's an accountant, 26-year-old black man in Dallas. Come on, relax from work. You're in your own abode. Oh, I'm
right.
going to have a little ice cream and watch some TV. And a white female breaks into your house and then tells the court, well, she fired because you didn't obey her command.
Hmm.
But anyway, let me stop.
I wanted to share that as you talked about the police and police sensitivity, you know, Buffalo Police, which we have a number of brothers and sisters on the force that do their best, but the majority of the others, Buffalo is like any other major city, and the way the police mm-hmm. handle our people, and as that's been one of the number one complaints is that the way they apprehended this shooter. Unscratched, and it was just a couple weeks ago here in Buffalo that one of the many incidents of our people dealing with the police, but there was a disabled black man having a mental health emergency and led the police on a high speed chase. And at the end of the chase, the police fired over 100 rounds into his vehicle. So you can imagine like a movie scene, like The Matrix. They fired 100 rounds into his vehicle in a residential neighborhood. So rounds hitting houses and surrounding vehicles. And this was on a weekday evening. And that's how they responded to a brother having a mental health emergency. And then for them to respond to this active shooter, armed, military grade weapons, you know, unscratched. I mean, that's the first thing that our people are responding to among others, as Sister Pamela mentioned, the language of the DA who, is that we're watching to see if he's going to, you know, lower his wing of sympathy on this shooter. There's a lot to watch. I think our people, you know, just need to really look at what the Honorable Muhammad taught us, as you shared back in the 60s, and now through the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan today, so that we can see that, no, these people are not going to change. We have to change and do something for ourselves, which is that's what the time is calling for. And so, yes, as you mentioned about police sensitivity, they're very sensitive towards their own. And that's been the experience of black people here in Buffalo for many years.
And Dr. Ava, I just got to jump in here because, you know, the video that I saw. No, because I want to talk about a video, and I also want to talk about our brother, because I wanted to say some good things about him in the beginning. But the interesting thing, did enrage me, is watching. I saw black people. I saw this black dude on the phone talking like, you know, hey, you know, something just happened. There's one sister, she on the ground. Hitting the ground, and this other young black dude said, chill out, calm down, chill out. And they screaming, she screaming, she bugging out, and they right near where they're arresting him. And I'm looking at the cops, they looking like, you know, like pat his pockets down, like, you got anything on you? You know, it's almost like a simple, you know, pull your car and get out the car, and we're just doing a pat down. I mean, like, you are not just, you have killed people. Like, people are dead. Not like, you know, either people are dead. Now, if he had killed a police officer, oh my goodness, he wouldn't have gotten no looks like, you got more weapons on you because you just killed one of our comrades. They're not going to pat him like that. They're not just going to calmly. So it's one of those things, like you said, you're on the only black store in a food desert. And black people are being killed knowing this white dude is out of character, out of place, not from the neighborhood, and you come in and kill, and the police not even worried. And here's the other part that just kills me. Police not even worried about the crowd running and trying to kill him. Like, we ain't even trying to sack him. Like, he's just like, came in, shot up, killed people.
We don't even try to bum rush.
We're not even running to him to just try to rip his damn his neck
down.
Off.
Yeah.
Or something that police in the image that I saw were very calm. Like, there was no threat. Like, when we have our rallies and protests, I know how the police look because I'm right there with them. And they like on guard, ready to kill, ready to their position. I know the chief that's over, and I know what tactics they're going to use. I know what they're going to come in, how they're going to move, and they're on guard, ready if anything pop off. There was no looking like they didn't. I didn't see the tanks come in. I didn't see the full riot gear come in. To like, oh my God, we had a shooter. We need to secure this area and lock it down.
Right.
We're giving him problems. There's not all of that. None of that.
Right.
And
right.
he has killed people. killed
already,
right,
in the presence of dozens of witnesses.
And you're
and
just going to get treated
got
as
a camera on his head, filming himself doing it.
Filming it, and when you see the camera, it's almost like he's playing the video game.
Right.
It's almost like this is like a video game. Which one can I shoot? And so when they start this, what was wrong with him? What is his child? I don't give a about your childhood. You meticulously planned this out, scoped it out, did reconnaissance, had a camera, knew what weapons, knew where you wanted to shoot, and particularly picked out this store and knew the the landscape of the area.
Right.
Come on. Now, we just need to stop right there. As a case, you can't be crazy and choose a zip code where you want to go. That's not crazy. That's
right.
Very sane. That's
highly
very conscious. Mm-hmm. And you knowing exactly what you're doing, and you know the area. So, you know, when we look at this it's one of those things, like you said, you can't teach sensitivity when you just so sensitive he just killed and a brother selling cigarettes on the corner. Come here, put your hand down. Like, it was a cigarette. I'm selling Lucy's.
Right.
I'm selling CDs.
Right.
I'm selling CDs. I'm selling Lucy's. It wasn't a $20 bill. It was fake. But you got a foot on my neck now. I mean, come on, really?
Right.
Your whole
we
body
get.
Weight choked the life
all
out
of
me over a prolonged period. And, you know, my husband had reminded me, Tamir Rice, 12 years old.
Teach.
Okay, we went up there in the aftermath. You know, when you look at that park, now he's sitting there on a park, the outdoor table people eat, by himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you saw his pictures in his face, sweet little boy, playing with a toy gun, okay? They rolled up on him. The police car came all up on the lawn, on the grass. They rolled up on him like a mafia hit. And they were firing guns out of the car, out of the window.
Right.
Right.
This is a child.
Child.
Remember the couple, like Brother Henry said about people, when we have mental issues and need help, it was the couple that lived in the shelter and they were in a car, had done absolutely nothing. And the police chased them for God knows how many miles and all sorts of other suburban and county police joined the chase, and they shot 110 rounds into the car. One cop stood up on the hood of the car fired into their faces and heads and bodies. I mean, we could sit here all night. We would not even make a dent in the mayhem, the murder, the terrorism that we have suffered. It's just endless. But I'm glad you brought that up, Hal, because we have to picture this in our mind. You know, the contrast in the response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, some dudes over there killing niggas. You need to go on over there. Yes, you need to go over there. And there's one video clip where he's firing. He sees a Caucasian.
A white guy.
He said, oh, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that's literally a video game, Dr. Haley. That's literally like, oh, I can't shoot that.
You're not supposed to get that one. Right.
Right. Literally.
You know, when the thing comes up and you lose points because you hit the wrong target?
Yes. I have practiced to hit the dark targets.
Right.
That's my target. I will not hit the light one. Whoa,
right.
Almost.
Ooh,
I'm
bad.
Sorry.
My bad.
I wanted to another of the deceased victims, a brother who actually was a retired police officer who worked at the store security, armed security. He actually was the father of one of my faculty members at the school where I teach at. It was her father.
Oh, yeah.
And according to the news reports, he attempted to exchange, you know, respond with his firearm. But, you know, as we know, these people are coming for war. And so his firearm that he may have for, you know, one of our foolish people trying to steal a pack of cigarettes or a loaf of bread was no match for this, you know, Caucasian who had come with bulletproof vest on and, you know, high capacity firearm. It was no match. And so, you know, this was war. That gentleman was prepared for war. That devil was prepared for war. And he had it mapped out like a war. He did reconnaissance missions. As I said, he was coming to Buffalo for months, being seen in the store, you know, and some of the security brothers there that worked there recognized him and noticed him and said, you know, something looks a little strange. But it wasn't until this past Saturday that he went through with what he did and then posted online, not just the video, but his game plan, what they call a manifesto of how he did it, and hopes of inspiring others of his like to go and do the same. This, you know, this is the literal war on black people that we see taking place all over the country, and it came right here to my hometown, my community. And so, you know, it's definitely a wake-up call for all of us.
You know, speaking of that manifesto, I read that one of the things he wrote in there, because he was asked at his high school, and this is from what I'm understanding, middle class family. You know, he's not some, you know, suffering, poverty stricken white, but they ask the students a series of questions, and one of the questions was, "What do you plan to do when you retire?" I think they were asking about their career and life. And what do you plan to do when you retire? He said, he answered murder, suicide. Mm-hmm. That's what he wrote. Wow. And so that was flagged, and they sat him down, and somebody in the school spoke with him. And as a result of whatever they experienced from him in that exchange, they sent him to a mental hospital for examination. And he was released shortly thereafter. And he wrote in the manifesto, he said, yeah, I told them, oh, that was just something I said in the moment. And they let me go. And they said some of his classmates said they always, to you all's point, they said one thing, this is a highly intelligent person, a loner, didn't have friends, to the point where one woman said his mother called her a few years back, like early days of high school, called her and asked her, could she please ask her son to call him and socialize with him. Because he didn't have the ability to make friends. You know, and it's a manifestation of what's running through them, but he's just the full fledged sociopath.
Right.
You know, but as you're saying, Brother Henri, see this idea of also encouraging others. And
right.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us, he said, you cannot fathom the depths of Satan.
Right, right.
And because of that, we want to make excuses for their evil. You know, to hear our own doctors, our own politicians get smart with us and snide with us when we say don't take the vaccine.
Come on.
And we point to Tuskegee, oh, well, that's a long time ago. They don't do that anymore. You called 1972 a long time ago?
Right.
Listen.
See, you're scared because you take them as God besides Allah. You're scared of them. And so you're driven by this irrational need to placate them. And that's something they put in us in slavery. And Master Fard Muhammad came here to purge us of that. But we can't benefit from these teachings if we won't even listen to another black person.
Mm-hmm.
That's how mentally ill we are. We won't even hear another black person. We'll let Anthony Fauci, who we never heard of in our life, sit on a TV and tell us what to do about our health. But Minister Farrakhan, who has laid his life on the line for nearly 70 years, oh, he needs to stay in his lane.
Mm-hmm.
This is something for doctors. This is something for, you know, it's horrific. It's horrific. So we're going to continue to experience worse and worse situations.
That's right.
Until we stand up and say we're out of here. And so the minister, see, what black people better understand, when he went on WVON and announced our governmental structure, it's like when the ship is about to sail and they start pulling the anchor up. You know, when they say last call for flight 122 and the guy at the counter that's checking the boarding passes, they come and start closing the door and pulling the walkway. This is where we are. This cannot go on forever. So sooner or later, there comes a point where he has to save those that desire to submit. We can't keep calling people to accept Islam and then just remain mixed up with those who reject and disrespect God, which they manifest through their reaction and response to the messenger Messiah against us. This has been going on over 90 years now. And as Muhammad Ali said, when they asked him in an interview, you believe what Elijah Muhammad said, that the white man is the devil? And he said, I believe every word he says. He said, but I don't have to, because you prove it every day yourself. How about that? So all we need to do is listen and then look around. And we will know which way to go, because we're past the time, as the Holy Quran said, you can't keep being neither this nor that.
Right.
You better find you a side and get on it.
That's right.
But anyway, Brother Terrence, you wanted to say something about Brother Andre.
Yes, and I know we want to get to the callers. I have to reiterate for those that may just be joining, please go hear and listen to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on WVON May 16th and with the Executive Council, because I just had to state it again, like Dr. Ava said, this has never happened before. Well, the minister said, I'm going to come on, but you have to also not, and it's very significant what you said, Dr. Ava, not only did the minister say, I will come on, only you have to bring the Executive Council on, you have to reintroduce them and allow them to speak. So in other words, you have to read 13 people's bios and allow each one of them to have something to say before I speak. I don't know when that has happened, and then close it out by saying who the executive council represents.
Come on.
If you don't hear nothing else, that part. And I'm saying that because if you need the documentation, that WVON is that, which is almost, I would say, me personally saying, is compared to that lecture in 1972. So when you need to hear and you don't know if he is the one or he was the one, no.
Come on.
The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it here. So if you don't want to take what he said and the minister standing here, they represent. I picked them personally, individually. I did.
That's right.
And he is the Messiah. I would leave that alone in the sense of making your and shaping your mind around what God's servant and mouthpiece said and has put into place. Whether you have your own personal issues or views about any of the 13, you take that up with God. Or you may just want to sit down and hear and obey. I don't know where that came from, Dr. A, because that wasn't the point.
That's inspired. That's inspired.
Yes, I just had to put that out there. But our brother Andre, I just wanted to I love this brother, been knowing him for 24 years. I met him around 1998 at the Million Youth Movement when we was organizing for that. And it was very interesting. And he can remind me, was it a flute or clarinet? But I remember after everything was over, he was riding with me in my car, and I took him, I think, to the airport or somewhere where he was going, and I had to mail him, I think, his flute. So when you said you played the violin and the flute or clarinet, I just remember that he had one, and he had a violin,
right,
as well as I played the violin from the fourth
the
to the...
No, I said piano, not the violin.
Oh, piano, my fault, yeah. But my father played the violin. My father, my mother, and my brother played the violin. My mother, father, and brother played the piano. I played the violin because my father made violins. My father made violins.
Wow.
So from the fourth to the ninth grade, I played the violin. He still has the violins that he made out in his house. Just interesting to say that. So, you know, I was mad years later. I should have stayed with the minister play. You know, I'm not into going back to it right now. But the brother has had the same spirit. Yeah, it is. It's not. But he has had the same humble spirit, the love of music since I met him. And then to see him now, by the grace of social media, the range of music. And I'm only bringing this up because we are talking about a serious and sad issue in Buffalo. But I also don't want to overlook that when we said this is Brother Andre, the maestro. He is that. He is the maestro of that violin. He has the school in Buffalo where he's teaching the youth. He has been all over, literally, the world. And not only does he play the violin, you don't mess with him on the guitar. And his range of music, Dr. Ava, he is a true artist. And when he's in his element of artistry, he is in it. And even when I see him playing the violin, there's certain things that you see and feel when a person is playing the violin, where you see, it's like when you see an artist singing or performing and their whole spirit and soul is in it. You see that in his violin. You see it on his guitar. So he has a certain spirit and he has a certain consciousness that comes through the music. So it's beautiful to see not only that in his art, but also in his love of the people of Buffalo, and not only just the people of Buffalo, that he's working with the children in Buffalo to give them high civilization as we're trying to live in a city that is so segregated, but he is teaching those young people high civilization.
I wanted to add, too, brother, that my children found a lecture that Dr. Ava, that you gave in Rochester, New York, when I was in college. So this had to have been maybe 96 or 97. You came to the study group of Rochester. and they mm-hmm. heard me. I was in the student ministry then. I opened up, and they heard Ooh. Me on the lecture before the student coordinator of that city brought you on for the keynote address. But Dr. Ava, yourself, Brother Terrence, Sister Donna, Brother Terrence shared, we go back definitely to my teens, growing up in Islam under the guidance of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And I love to share the story that in my coming up in Islam, that my father who would sit myself and my siblings in front of the public access television on Thursday evenings to listen to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, because my father didn't want myself in particular, you know, being in classical music, you're around, you know, definitely around Caucasian people. But in most instances, in my experience, when I'm in an orchestra, I'm the only black person in the orchestra. So my dad would have us sit down to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan preach. And I'll be honest, I can't remember much of what he was saying as I was 15, 16. But one night he turned on the public access, and the brother that wore the bow tie that preached, Louis Farrakhan, had a violin in his hands, and he was performing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. And that was the moment. That was love at first sight for me. And I've been a student of his, a student of this teaching ever since. My heart, my soul, my passion is in this teaching and giving it to our people through the violin. And so, as Brother Terrence mentioned, Muhammad School of Music, this is our 23rd year. And through the violin, through music, we have an inroad into churches, community centers, into the hearts of our people. And then we bring with us the teachings, the discipline, the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we hope, inshallah, hopefully open the door up to him, to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, so that they can see him and experience him in a different light than what the enemy, portrays on him. They can see him through the light of God, through his gift of the violin. And so, again, just thank you for giving me this opportunity to come on the air on behalf of our people here in Buffalo, New York.
Yes, sir. And, you know, Brother Terrence, too, I want to say this about Brother Andre. He always has reminded me, he reminds me of the minister in his, what he projects, his image.
Right.
And the mm-hmm. elegance. And
yes.
and he reminds me of our, you know, well, early 20th century composers like Scott Joplin, you know, even though he played piano, but that clean cut, handsome sort of elegant person. And you know, you think about, remember we watched the minister's concert last year again,
yes.
His live, and even though Brother Darius and I were actually there, when I saw it again, there was so much of that I didn't capture, you know, and that's why it's so important. There's the live experience, but then you always have to go back and look again and study and listen. Mm-hmm. But it's that elegance, you know, and it's so reflective and projects the teachings, you know, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the clean-cut, well-dressed, elegant black man. Okay, and
that's right.
I just wanted to add that in there as well. You know,
okay.
Yeah, I remember when Brother Darius and I came to Rochester, and we were laughing because we had gone to Albany as well in that time period. I forgot, and went up there and we flew from Albany, New York, to New York City in this little prop jet. And I don't even know what made us get in that thing. But, you know, Allah bless us to make it. But but we bounced up and down in the clouds. But I just remember when we were making those rounds in upstate New York. So Thank you for reminding me. But I know our callers, especially our first caller, is having a fit. just an absolute fit. And I'm going to open her line right now. The one and only Sister Ula. Assalamu alaikum. Uh-oh.
Don't play.
Brother Henry, Sister Ula is one of our stellar callers, but if we don't get to her soon enough, she'll fall asleep. She said we put her to sleep. we'll come back to her, and hopefully she'll come around. And meanwhile, we'll keep it moving, and we'll go down the list, and we will talk to our dear brother, Brother Hoyle. Muhammad
and Memphis. Assalamu alaikum, and assalamu alaikum to your guest, Brother Andre. Excellent job, excellent artist, brother. I see you on Facebook, brother. You excellent, a great work you do, brother. I'm impressed by your music and everything. Yes, sir, brother. You know, this. I was impressed by what all of you all were saying about these killers, you know. They were saying that these killers have a herd, what they call amplified by politicians, and what they call the white replacement theory. You've heard about that?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and he had a I think he met with this brother. I was on Facebook, and the brother talked to him and bought him a drink. And he had this shirt with a genius on it, and he said, "Are you gonna be back up here?" And but there's many like that, you know. Brother Andre, back last year, I was telling Sister Ava, if y'all won't forget, September 23rd, 2021, we had 13 people killed at a grocery store. It was about 29 years. Yeah, this was in Collierville, Tennessee. So this was September 23rd, 2021, and this was at a grocery store in Collierville area. Sister Ava's familiar with that area out there. And, but we're just going to have, you know, as a people, we got a war on two fronts with our people, and also we're just going to have to be more security-minded and separate, you know. I remember the minister said this, Sister Ava. He said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that God is going to force the enemy to treat you worse and worse by day. Every day he is going to treat you more and more evil. So don't think you run out of the hearing that the black suffering and black death and slaughter. Oh, no. It's going to increase. Increase for what? So that your engagement with hell, as Isaiah the prophet says, will not stand. You'll have to come away from your 400-year-old enemy and build a nation of your own or suffer the consequences. So Allah's hand is in this. He's going to force us to separate, force us to love each other, get this self-aid out, because just living amongst this enemy has turned us away from ourselves. We're looking at just debauchery every day, but, you know, this is his way of purifying us and building our nation and getting us ready for the hereafter. So keep up the good work, brother, Sister Ava and family, separation family. And may Allah bless you. I'm going to let somebody else talk. Thank you, family. May Allah bless you all.
Oh, thank you, Brother.
Thank you.
And, you know, the minister also said, I can't remember where, but he said it not too long ago, and Brother Hoyle made me think of it. He said, Allah is making white people suicidal. You know, they've always had a certain inclination of self-destruction in that way. And if you look at, you know, because my husband and I are always saying, you know, do you look at these crazy people? You know, you look at them climb Mount Everest, okay? You know, here's a mountain that's, 29,000 feet up, and it just spells death. First of all, it wasn't put there for you to climb and sit up here and drink beer. You know, this is something helping to balance the planet. And if you notice, with just a few exceptions, black people aren't attracted to that type of activity. You know, because of our innate respect for what our fathers have done and knowing the purpose. But, you know, I've seen several documentaries, and you all have probably seen them too, and people go up there, and then once in a while they'll have a whole slew of deaths. But it was interesting that in one of the documentaries, it said, that the narrator said, most of the deaths that occur on Mount Everest, because, you know, it's not meant for human life. You can't breathe. You got to wear the oxygen and all of that. But it said most of the deaths don't take place going up. They take place coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading also recently how, and you all have read the messenger, his writings, he said how Allah let the white man go up to the moon for a minute, and he lets him, when he's about to destroy a people, he lets them see his power. And this is one of the things that's happening now. See, they're on the way down, and that's when death comes. That's the point. He allowed them to rise to power and to exercise power and dominion over this entire planet. And it's over. It ended in 1914.
Right.
That's when the calendar, the clock ran out. But because of our condition and the desire of Master Farid Muhammad to beat this prophecy and to increase the 144,000, only 144. You think of this planet, okay? And there's what, going on 7 billion on this planet?
Mm-hmm.
And the scientists only saw 144,000 escape the doom of Satan's world. But Master Farid Muhammad made a plan to beat that number by million. And the minister has spoken on that many times throughout this pandemic, that Master Farid Muhammad told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he's not going to let all of our people go down with his enemy. And it's almost like as time has passed, he's become more and more bent on saving as many of us as possible. And that's why this keeps lasting. And our people make mockery of it.
Right.
You know, Farrakhan said, this is his last speech 30 years ago. He's still here. You know, you're not even appreciating the fact that all of our leaders, they either get killed or deported or locked up. You know, this is the first continuous leadership. I'm not talking about house servant. I'm talking about a real black leader.
Right.
Who is willing to step to the enemy and check it.
That's right.
Don't last. You know, King, Malcolm, they didn't see 40. They never saw the age of 40. Think about that.
Right.
Marcus Garvey deported. And then if they make it to advanced age, like a Bill Cosby, they ruin you.
Right.
They ruin you. They make the end of your life miserable, and they destroy your reputation. But look at how that's changing. Because Bill Cosby went up in that prison and was teaching young brothers.
Right.
They wanted him out of there. Because he went in front of the parole board. And they said, you can leave if you admit you're a predator. And he says, you're out your mind. Just take me back to my cell. And lo and behold, the court overturns the conviction.
Right.
See, now we're in the time where you get rewarded for standing up. It used to be, you know, you're not going to get rewarded, but your descendants will. Well, we are the descendants now.
Right, right.
You know, so many, so countless black people gave their lives or were victimized throughout this whole horrific event, this sojourn. But now, you look at Kyrie Irving. And black people need to pay attention to what's happening. The Minister Farrakhan has stood up to this beast, this dragon, and he's still here, stronger
right.
than ever. You know, there was a time you didn't. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad ushered that in because he had met with God. What are you going to do with somebody that met God? What do you think you can do? He could care less. So when the president said, I'd like you to come to the White House, I live at 4855 South Woodlawn.
That's right.
Got no interest
That's right.
in visiting
That's right.
you. Now, if you want to come visit me, I'll let you come. And now look at his student who says to the world, don't take the vaccine. The thing wasn't even out yet.
Right.
This is July of 2020. They didn't make it available until December, the end of December 2020. Then he says to black people, says to black African leadership, don't take it. It's death. Then he swings on the devil and says straight up to Satan, if you come and try to force us with your army, because that's what they were going to do. You know that.
Right.
They
right.
talked about it, about having the National Guard. You remember that? And they talked
yes.
about having
yeah.
the National Guard come through the neighborhoods, find
that's
out
right.
who's test us, make us test for COVID. And if we test positive, quarantine us. And if our home is not conducive to being quarantined, take us to some concentration camp. They already built them.
Right.
And he said, if you come with your army and try to make us take that vaccine, you're declaring war on us all. Who's us all? We don't know, but they know.
Right.
Because what would prevent them from rolling up at 7351 South Stony Island? We're just some black people on Stony Island with no weapons and brag about not having any weapons.
Come on.
So what is stopping you? Why didn't you obliterate the Million Man March? You could have done it. Because it's not us at all. It's what's up above us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're not martyrs. They're suicidal, but they're not martyrs.
Exactly.
But, you know, I don't even know why I went there. But Let me go back to the phones. Let me go to Brother Mark, who has a question and a comment. We'll get to all our calls. We got about three or four left. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum.
Salam, Sister Ava. Brother Harris, Black, and Beethoven, say Brother Yuri or Turi, if I'm name correct or wrong, please forgive me, brother. If you'd be Beethoven up to Allah, you know. Sister Ava saying is straight fire and nothing but the truth of what the Honorable Louis Paul time, right here, his honor, behind Muhammad. And may Allah be pleased with all our brothers and sisters who lost their lives in Buffalo, New York. But Sister Ava. Sister Ava?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Brother Mark? Okay, yes, sir.
What we saw
I can't,
with that
you're a little bit in and out on my phone, but I can hear you.
Okay. What we saw with that devil up in Buffalo,
yes,
was
sir,
just an upgrade of Dalen Roof 2.0.
Mm.
Basically, that's all it was. And there's thousands more like him. And Brother Hoyer read what I had going to read,
yes,
about
sir,
what the minister said, that this devil is going to treat us worse and worse and worse. What we saw in,
yes,
Buffalo is going to continue to happen in different places in America. Black folks,
yes,
we're going to have to be on guard, Sister Ava, be on point. We can't be mundane and think everything is okay, because this white man is losing his, well, he's lost his mind, but he's losing it even more.
He lost it.
And like you were saying,
right,
you know, I'm basically the same age as you, Sister Ava. When I was a little boy, they were saying about the civil rights movement that the olds would die off and it'll be a new generation.
That's what they said all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's correct. The old ones did die off. But it's a new generation with the same mindset, because it's in their nation.
Come on.
In their nature.
It's who they are.
And that's who they are, and nothing can change that. And we're all going to bear witness to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. Everybody on the planet is going to bear witness. And you're going to either live and accept what he said or go down like Pharaoh. But the last thing, Sister Ava, when the minister spoke May 16th, and he had all of you all who were on the council to speak, that was so profound, and it was worldwide, that a baby nation is being born right in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the leadership that will continue this nation. This nation ain't going to never fall. And we have a council. Because when the minister leaves and goes to the mothership, yeah, black folks, he ain't dying. He going to the mothership to go get his up further instructions and go get healed. So ain't nothing spooky there. But he's going to leave. But that council is going to be here. And everybody who spoke, all y'all spoke, it made me so happy and proud to be a member of the Nation of Islam, that y'all were all leaders. It was like, there's nothing to be scared of. There's no need for us to fear when the minister makes his rendezvous. If we believe in the God, like he said, all of those on the council put God first. All of the members of the Nation of Islam put Allah first. We have no need to fear, y'all. We on the winning team, living the dead like Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm the winner. I am so happy. I'm happy than more happy than a Sicilian boys town, the way I'm feeling. Because this, Sister Ava, it was just so profound. If y'all don't recognize what happened May 16th, because the minister spoke, we know what the minister, not know what he's going to do, but we know his message is going to be so profound, it affects us. But y'all on the council affected everybody who listened worldwide, because they saw a totally new black people coming up into existence. You ain't never
seen.
President Obama ain't got nothing on the council. I'm going to tell y'all all here and listen. President Obama ain't got nothing on the council. And he has the top in the white man's world. But he has nothing on the Nation of Islam's council, which is black folks' nation. Sister Ava, I am so proud of you. Brother Torrance, I'm proud of you and all the staff. But that council, I am so proud and happy to be a member of the Nation of Islam, because our leadership will never die. As long as we with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the God of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and follow the guidance of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, we own the winning team, and may Allah bless each and every one of us to go to the door and not turn back. Because I don't want to
turn
back.
And not
turn
back.
Ain't gonna be never, you know, no, ma'am. God came too far, Sister Ava, too many years. What are we going to turn back to, Obama?
Say,
nope.
Came this far,
yes,
ain't going to turn around now. Thank you, Brother Mark.
Turn around to what? Yes, ma'am. Love y'all.
Exactly. With Lakers Salam. Well, I just
right
got
now
some news, brothers and sisters, from my husband. I don't know if they, you know, I what did I do? Talk it up or whatever? Remember I was talking about Mount Everest?
Uh-huh.
And we don't climb Mount Everest. The first group of black people, a team of black people just made it to the top of Mount Everest. You know, we're just okay. Some of us are just determined, okay, to go down with them. But that's hilarious to me. All right. We're going to go to the host and moderator of Elevated Places Network's monthly Zoom presentation, Building Our Promised Land, Sister Donna Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Donna.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava, Brother Terrence, Sister Pamela, Sister Rona, and especially your esteemed guest, Brother Henri, the maestro.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about what you said in terms of his refined and dignified manner in which he carries himself, and I bear witness to that, and his children are just like that, too. So what really strikes me is, Brother Henri, I mean, he and his family is a case of separation, because look at how they're bringing culture, civilization, and refinement to Buffalo through the Muhammad School of Music.
Right.
And the manner in which
so they're
teaching everybody, and juxtapose that with this evil demon that comes with what he has in his mind, his studying to kill. And so, as Brother Henri, I phrase it, but it's like, you know, we have to go about our day. How can we live like this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be able to be free to be safe. They need to be able to be free to further teach the children in culture, refinement, and civilization. And so I just see your family and all of us as one of those models for the reason for project separation.
Yes.
That's all that I wanted to share this evening, because that just makes me so angry when you look at it. But it is what it is supposed to be. We just have to do, as you said, but now we have to do what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So that this won't be the case when we're just trying to live and live right. Thank you for these
right.
words. And I expect everybody to tune in to the next Project Separation, if we're going to be dealing with education and what it produces in that proper type of environment. Stay tuned for the flyer coming. It will be, inshallah, May 31st. Or the 30th, whichever is that last Tuesday.
Sister Donna, hold on, Sister Donna. Don't go, because I want to make a correction. I want to make a correction, because, you know, I let Sister Ava know that your name was Brother Henri, and Sister Donna just came on and said Brother Henri.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know the correct saying, so I can correct that on the air and not get in trouble
That's
for
right.
giving the wrong pronunciation.
Our apologies. Don't hesitate in the future, Brother Henri.
Right.
No,
that's good.
That's
right.
Okay,
I'm
trying to get high civilization, so it's Henri. Henri. Because, man, you know I got to say over accent there. Brother Henri. You know,
well, I couldn't recall, and we were getting ready to go on the air, and I was getting ready to look it up. You know how they have now, they pronounce that you can request Google to pronounce a word. But
I said, is it
Henri or Henri? He said, it's Henri. That's right, Henri. I said, oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, I did. I was
so
wrong.
So thank you, Sister Donna. But I mean,
oh,
you got you should have sent me a text.
Oh. But I implore
Next
us also
time,
to the Donna, audience,
send me
the
a
audience to get his beautiful book. It's called The Artist, and it has a companion CD to it, and it's his story. And we always grow an appreciation for people when we learn their story, so make sure that he doesn't go off the air without letting people know where to get his book, The Artist.
All right, my brother. Tell us where. The Artist. All right.
Yeah,
so. The Artist.
All praise be to Allah. Yes, if you visit my website, which is henristar.com, so Henri is HENRISTAR, henristar.com, you can order the book, The Artist. You can download both of my most recent CDs. In the book, I talk about some of my lessons and mentoring sessions with the Armistice Louis Farrakhan. I've been blessed to be coached and mentored him directly one-on-one, initially starting when I was a teenager, but most recently in the past few years has been, I've had the opportunity to travel to visit with him, and we have, you know, what amounts to 4 and 5 hour violin lessons where he's coaching me. And as you can, as the minister can teach, you know, a 4 and 5 hour Savior's Day message, he can teach a 4 and 5 hour violin lesson and not get tired and not get weary. And even in his, you know, calculated age, yet his fingers are still nimble and fierce playing, you know, the high levels of violin technical virtuosity that, you know, that we do. The minister's fingers are just as nimble as a 20-year-old. So I talk about some of those meetings and those sessions and the gifts that he's given me in the book. And so just a wonderful blessing. The Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is such a universal leader. And in my personal experience and testimony, I couldn't ask for a better, more divinely shaped and molded teacher than him, a man of God, a man of inspiration, and a classical violinist where in a field where you don't have black people, notable black people in classical music. He is my greatest gift, and I have committed my life to his message, his work, and the mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so, again, thank you for having me on this program during this time.
And Brother Andre, we're not going to let you just kind of gloss over that, but you just said that the minister was giving you violin lessons, Mr. Maestro. And we yeah. have always heard about the minister's teachers. I ain't never, me personally, heard about the minister yeah. giving lessons. I mean, that's a testament as far as his, we already know him, mm-hmm. well, we have heard, some of us know his work ethic and his skill mm-hmm. level of perfection and practice to get some down, but to even teach you not just the word, but teach you and nuances of the violin, which is very technical and very skilled. Like I said, I used to play, and when
right.
you get to a certain level, so to hear you say that, that's very, very, very profound.
Yes, yes. And it's just the beauty and the universality of who he is. You know, and him, you know, recreating himself and so many of us, as we heard the executive council on Monday, and the others that are out there that he's placed himself into. Again, he's God's gift to all of us. But me personally, my personal testimony, as we say in church, my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's my personal relationship, and I carry it with me, you know, and I give back to my students, and that's what they're getting, you know. So I'm just thankful. All praise be to Allah. Just thankful.
Oh yes, sir. Well, we yes, sir. We're going to try to squeeze one more caller who's been patiently waiting, and that's Brother Derek, and he has a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Derek.
Well, alaykum salam to everyone, and I'm going to make this quick to our
yes,
guest.
Sir.
Dear brother, you know, I want to say to you that, brother, you are going to be a great light in the hour of great darkness. You hold the skills of playing in an acoustic instrument when there will be no electricity and no amplifiers to plug up to. You'll be able to play to soothe the believers, soothe those who's going to earn the reward of the hereafter. See, it's a beauty in that. And Dr. Ava, I want to say something about that Mount Everest thing. Sister, don't you know? when you reach the top of Mount Everest, you are standing actually taller than the earth, because the average is 29,141 feet, right? And so the average human being would stand by what, 5'11"? So you can add inches, and so you standing actually above the earth, taller than the earth, because you standing up on top of Mount Everest. Oh, yeah, and also to Brother Terrence, too. Brother Terrence, man, my father passed away on just this Friday. And I know exactly what you're saying, brother, because we're dealing with that. And also about the Minuteman March that Dr. Ava made mention of, you're absolutely right, sister. They could have obliterated, but my father, I witnessed that he did. One time a used car dealer, car dealership called the house talking about they were going to come get the car. And he said this, he said, well, Jim, I don't think it'd be a good idea. Well, you think y'all going to obliterate us? I don't think it's going to be a good idea. But that's all I call to say, y'all. I love y'all. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're not meant to do that. But my husband also gave me a P.S. He said they I think I said they made it to the top, this little black group. But you know how they have camps at various stages of the altitude? You know, you climb. You know, they have base camp at a certain level. And that's where they, you know, they fly you up there in a helicopter up to a certain height. And then you climb for a little while. Then you camp out. So they're at that very last level before you reach the top. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And they black with locks. they black. Seven members of the Full Circle Everest group scaled Mount Rainier in Washington last year. But now they conquered Everest. Woo! Uh-oh. These black folks. I don't know what...
Well, look at what the minister said in those words on WVON, making us into them.
Right.
We don't want to be governed by them, because being governed by them, we have been made into them. See, and this is why we're producing cold-blooded killers ourselves. They're not the sociopaths that... They are. They can be redeemed. The minister said there's no black person that cannot be redeemed. But they're the opposite. None of them at this point can be salvaged. It's just the end. You know, and it's over with. So, Brother Henri, we really have been blessed to have you.
Thank you.
On this program tonight.
Thank you.
You've got to come back. Under better circumstances.
Yeah.
And and that's henristar.
Yes.
Dot com. henristar. Henristar. .com, where you can order his book, The Artist, and you can order his CDs. But that was beautiful testimony to your experiences with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And again, on behalf of all of us who are here tonight, we thank you, and please extend our deepest condolences to all of the people in our community that you encounter, and may Allah be pleased with the souls of those whose lives were lost. And remember what the minister taught at the Criterion. See, these are martyrs. These are martyrs because they died in the process of us gaining our freedom. And so may Allah bless their families. And we're getting that signal. So I want to say to you, Brother Henri, thank you. Brother Terrence,
thank you.
Muhammad,
thank you,
sir. Sister Donna Muhammad, Sister Rona Muhammad, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, and each and every one of you who is tuned in and took the time to be with us tonight on Elevated Places, and those of you who are logged in on blogtalkradio.com/ Elevated Places. May Allah bless each and every one of us and our families with love and the light of understanding. As-salamu alaykum.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.